We had seen what is HRA. Now I am going to tell you something more about personal allowances. HRA is a personal allowance given by the employer to the employee for his residential accommodation. Simply, the employer pays more salary to the employee over and above his basic salary in the form of HRA, and this amount received from the employer, he takes a house on rent and the amount is paid to the landlord. That's why Income Tax Act says that Section 10, Subsection 13A gives certain relief from that rent, from that HRA received from the employer by the employee. So that if it is not relieved, some relief is not given, what will happen? The HRA shall be fully taxed in the hands of the employee and the employee will have to pay more tax. That's why the government says that okay, we will give you some relief by way of Section 10, Subsection 13A in respect of HRA, the methodology I told you about HRA. Now, there are certain other personal allowances also. The first HRA I told you. Now, the second is what you call it, Children Education Allowance. Children Education Allowance. One thing you keep in mind, students, that allowances are nothing but something given in cash by the employer to the employee to meet his expenses. The expenses may be official expenses and the expenses may be personal expenses. It is something beyond the salary. Now, right now, we are discussing about personal expenses. So, Children Education Allowance is also given by the employer to the employee. Let us take an example. Suppose my salary, basic salary, is rupees 20,000 per month. And my employer gives me allowance. That is Children Education Allowance. Children Education Allowance. In the form of allowance. He gives me 1,000 rupees per month over and above the salary. Now, what is the total amount I am receiving? I am receiving rupees 21,000 from the employer monthly. Now, the entire 21,000 shall not be taxed. There is a rule that if the Children Education Allowance is given, then in that case, rupees 100 per child per month shall be allowed as a deduction by default. Now, that means here the total taxable salary of this gentleman will be rupees 20,000 basic salary into 12, which is what you call it 2,40,000. Now, he has also received 12,000 for HRA yearly. That means HRA is 12,000, but 12,000 will be fully, education allowance is full 12,000. Now, out of this education allowance, 1,200 rupees shall be deducted. That is 100 rupees per child per month. Now, he will have to pay tax on, 10,800 rupees per month. This is how you have to understand. But suppose he has got two children, then he will get 100 rupees per child per month for into two, that is for two children. But if he has got three children, then this allowance shall be restricted only to the extent of two children. So, Children Education Allowance shall be restricted only up to two children, and it is 100 rupees per child per month will be allowed as a deduction by default. Now, if he has got one child, he will get 1,200 deduction. If he has got two children, then he will get 1,200 into 2. That is 2,400 as deduction. Now his total taxable salary will be 2,50,800. That means he does not have to pay tax on the entire amount. He will get some relief, and this is called as children education allowance. So this is another allowance which will be exempt to the extent of 100 rupees per child per month, but not more than 2 children. So, can we say children education allowance will be exempt under section 10, subsection 14, 100 rupees per child per month, not exceeding 2 children. Now, second allowance is, that is what do you call it, second type of allowance is hostel allowance. If the child of the employee is studying in a hostel, so hostel allowance is nothing but the amount given by the employer for the children of the employee who are in the hostel, and for that some amount is given by the employer in addition to the salary. Now hostel allowance is exempt under section 10 subsection 14 by to the extent of 300 rupees per child per month. However, the number of children should not exceed 2, not exceeding 2 children, not exceeding 2 children. This is hostel allowance. Now the third allowance, which is personal allowance, is called as transport allowance. Transport allowance. Now, what is transport allowance? Transport allowance is given by the employer over and above the salary. Something more is given for over and above the salary for the expenses incurred by the employee to and fro, that is from his office to home and home to office. So transport allowance is given by the employer over and above the salary. However, whatever transport allowance is given per month, 800 rupees per month shall be by default shall be allowed as a deduction. Suppose the employee gets 1000 rupees transport allowance from the employer, and the employee does not spend anything, or the employee comes by cycle, then also out of this amount 800 rupees shall be by default allowed to the employee. This is how the personal allowances are there. So in personal allowances we have seen HRA, children education allowance, hostel allowance and transport allowance. Now let us understand, we will go to allowances which are given for meeting the official expenses by the employee. Now the employee has to meet certain expenses in the office. Now that's how this is called as official allowance. Now this is how, let us understand what do you mean by official allowance. Now please understand one thing, the amount is given by the employer to meet the expenses, not in the nature of personal expenses of the employee. The amount is given to meet the official expenses by the employee. Now these are the official allowances. First is called as traveling allowance. Traveling allowance. Now what is travelling allowance? Travelling allowance is given by the employer to the employee for travelling within the country, out of the headquarters. Or suppose the employee is transferred. Now he has to travel from one place to another. So therefore that travelling allowance is given. Mind it well students, these allowances are given to meet the official expenses. Once these allowances are to meet the official expenses, no amount of the allowance shall be added to the salary of the employee, because he has taken the amount to meet his official expenses. Travelling allowance is one of the allowances given by the employer to meet the official expenses on the tour. It may be official tour, that is, it is an official tour, or it may be tour on account of transfer. So this is how travelling allowance will be given. Now suppose the employer has been given total travelling allowance of rupees 15,000 per annum, and he has spent 14,000 rupees total per annum for his travel, which is official for official purposes, and 1,000 rupees is retained by the employee. Now this 1,000 rupees, which is retained by the employee, shall be added to the salary of the employee, because this 1,000 rupees ought to have been refunded by the employee to the employer. But if he has kept this, this amount shall be added to the salary of the employee, whatever has not been refunded. But take an example. The total travelling allowance, he has received 15,000 and he has spent 17,000 for the official purposes. Now 2,000 rupees the employer will reimburse to the employee. This reimbursement of the amount of allowance shall not be taxable in the hands of the employee. Please understand, students, that reimbursement of the expenses by the employer to the employee is not the income of the employee, because this reimbursement is nothing but he has paid out of his own pocket. The employee has suffered some amount out of his own pocket. Now he has been reimbursed. Reimbursed means given back by the employer. That's why reimbursement of the allowances, reimbursement of the expenses shall not be taxable in the hands of the employee. But suppose in the third situation, the amount is per 15,000 per annum and the employee spends 15,000 fully for official purposes. In that case, nothing will be taxable in the hands of the employee, because whatever amount he has received is fully spent for official purposes. So travelling allowance is nothing but the amount given by the employer to the employee to meet the travelling obligations which are arising on account of his official purpose. Second allowance is helper allowance. Now what is helper allowance? Helper allowance means, suppose the employee has heavy work to do. In the sense, he has got lot of work to do. He cannot, what you call it, complete the job on his own. Now he requests to the employer that please provide me an assistant to help me on the job. So the employer gives him, say, rupees 5,000. To whom the employer gives him? The employer gives to the employee rupees 5,000, and in turn the employee appoints a helper to help him in the office. And now this amount which he has received from the employer and this amount which he has given to the his helper, now this amount shall not be taxable, because helper allowance is nothing but the amount given by the employer to the employee in the office for to help the employee. That's how this will not be taxable. It will be regarded as official allowance. Is that clear? Now let us go to the third one. Daily allowance. What do you mean by daily allowance? Now, I am in Mumbai. I go to Kolkata for 3 months. Now, I have to spend money on my laundry of my clothes, on shaving, on saloon, on my, what do you call it, other expenses, incidental expenses. Now employer gives that amount because I am out of the headquarters. So this daily allowance received shall also be treated as official allowance and shall not be added to the salary of the employee because it is regarded as official allowance. Next is conveyance allowance. Now conveyance allowance is nothing but the amount given by the employer to the employee for the local conveyance for the official purposes. Conveyance is there, but employee travels not for his personal purposes, but for the official purposes. So conveyance allowance shall also not be taxable. Shall you not ask me what is the difference between traveling allowance and conveyance allowance? The answer is traveling allowance is given when the employee travels out of his headquarters. Suppose my headquarters is in Mumbai. I travel to Kolkata, I travel to Delhi, I can go to Mysore, I go to West Bengal, I go to many other places. Then this is traveling allowance. Conveyance allowance within the city. So that is called as conveyance allowance. So this is how you have to understand. Next allowance is academic allowance. What do you mean by academic allowance? Academics. The employee needs some books. The employee needs some training. The employee needs some study for the purpose of his office, for the purpose of his duty, for the purpose of his, what do you call it, for the purpose of his requirement of the office. Now this academic allowance shall also not be taxable. Let us understand. A scientist is there. A company appoints a scientist. He requires certain books which are costly, say 5,000 rupees per book. Now company sanctions, the employer sanctions rupees 50,000 rupees for the books. That means the employer gives rupees 50,000 or sanctions rupees 50,000 to the employee. He can purchase the books and study it. Why the books are needed? The books are needed not for his personal study. The books are needed for his office, for his employment, for his duty, for his academics. Because this knowledge can be useful for his office. That's why academic allowance shall also be fully exempt. I am stressing upon one point, that if the allowances are for official expenses, for official purposes, these allowances shall not be added to the income of the employee. The employee's income shall not be increased by these allowances because these are not personal allowances. Now, last allowance is uniform allowance. What is uniform allowance? The, you must have seen in airports, in what do you call it, certain shops, the employees are wearing the same dress. This is called as uniform allowance. So, uniform allowance given by the employer shall also not be taxed in the hands of the employee because he uses that amount to maintain his uniform, to clean his uniform, to what do you call it, to purchase his uniform. So that's how these are the allowances which are exempt, what do you call it, under section 10, subsection 14, because they have been spent for official purposes. This is how the difference between personal allowance and official allowance. Now I want to take your attention to a different kind of allowance where every amount shall be taxable. Let us understand what are the other allowances which are received by the employee over and above the basic salary. In that case, every amount, every allowance shall be added to the salary. Let us understand those allowances. Is that clear? itself. Now, we have seen personal allowances are partly taxable, partly exempt. Official allowances are fully exempt. Now, the third allowance is fully taxable allowance. These allowances shall be fully taxed. No relief is there. Whatever amount is received from the employer, that amount shall be added to the salary. Let us understand. Dearness allowance is fully taxable. DA is fully taxable in the hands of the employee. What is DA? Dearness allowance is an allowance which is given to the employee to meet the rising cost of the, what you call it, expenses for his personal purposes. So, if the cost is rising, cost of living is rising, some amount is given to meet that extra cost which he has incurred due to inflation, that is called as dearness allowance. The things have become costly. Now, the salary is not sufficient. That's why the employer gives more amount, some more amount to meet the increased cost of expenses. That is called as dearness allowance. And dearness allowance is fully taxable. Dearness allowance is fully taxable. Second allowance is city compensatory allowance, CCA, city compensatory allowance. In some cities, the cost of living is high. The salary may not be sufficient. The employer gives some extra amount in the name of city compensatory allowance, and that allowance, if received, shall be fully taxable. That means these are nothing but taxable salary only. So, city compensatory allowance. Third is project allowance. Any amount given for project allowance, these are the names, but they shall be fully taxable. Lunch allowance. Listen, lunch allowance and providing lunch in the office, they are two different things. Whenever the word allowance is attached, you have to understand that cash component is involved. However, here lunch allowance is given, that means something is given regularly over and above the salary every month. That is lunch allowance. Let us take an example. My salary is rupees 25,000. My employer gives me per month lunch allowance. Now the total salary is 26,000. Shall I get some benefit out of this allowance? The answer is no, because this amount is given in terms of money and this allowance is fully taxable. However, if the employer provides lunch, actual lunch in the office, that is not allowance. Allowance means cash is given. If the actual lunch is provided in the office, or actual dinner is provided in the office, and the cost of the meal per meal is less than 50 rupees or 50 rupees or less than 50 rupees, then that amount shall not be added to the salary. But if it exceeds 50 rupees, suppose the cost of lunch is say 1000 rupees, one lunch, then the employee will have to pay tax on 950 rupees because the lunch was provided up to 50 rupees. Actual lunch or dinner provided in the office shall be exempt. He has taken the actual lunch of 1000 rupees. Now 1000 rupees, one lunch. Now 50 rupees will be exempt and 950 rupees shall be added. But dear friends, this is a different concept. Here, lunch is not provided, but money is provided for lunch. That's why lunch allowance shall be fully taxable. Is that clear? Now, servant allowance. The employer gives some more amount in the guise of servant allowance, it is nothing but salary only, because it is in terms of money. So servant allowance is provided, actual services of servant is not provided. They are not provided, sorry. Actual services of servant are not provided, but the amount is given. This amount is nothing but salary only in a different way. Now, servant allowance. Then next is warden allowance. Warden allowance is given to the hostel employees or the jailers, where they keep their wardens. So that amount shall also be treated as taxable. No deduction is allowed, no relief is allowed in these types of allowances. Now next is marriage allowance. These are the names, but ultimately this shall be added to the salary. May it be marriage allowance, may it be a tiffin allowance, may it be overtime allowance, may it be dinner allowance, may it be, what do you call it, holiday allowance, may it be newspaper allowance, may it be petrol allowance, may it be fixed medical allowance, may it be entertainment allowance. These are just the names, but ultimately these allowances shall merge into salary, shall be added to the salary. No deduction, nothing will be provided. So these are the fully taxable allowance. Shall you not ask me, sir, medical allowance, shall it be fully taxable? Yes, if medical allowance is given regularly per month, then that shall be fully taxable. But if the person is suffering, or if the person is sick, or if the person is ailing and he has been hospitalized, then the treatment is different. However, this amount is given regularly without falling sick. That's why this shall be fully taxable. Entertainment allowance is also fully taxable in the hands of the private sector employees. However, in the case of the government employees or the central government or state government employees, entertainment allowance shall be exempt maximum up to 5,000 rupees per annum. That is how you have to understand entertainment allowance. Here I have written only for private sector employees. For government undertaking, the entertainment allowance shall be exempt under section, shall be deductible under section 16, subsection 2 of the Income Tax Act, to the extent of maximum 5,000 rupees, nothing more than that. Is that clear? This is how we have covered the allowances. Now, we have completed allowances, but there are certain perquisites in the head of salary. First of all, let us understand what is perquisite. A common man will say that a perquisite is nothing but some personal benefits which are given by the employer over and above the salary. But generally, these benefits are not in cash. Generally, these benefits are in the form of facilities. So can we say perquisite is nothing but facilities, benefits, conveniences, personal advantages in the form of benefits provided by the employer to the employee because of his position and because of his power in the organization. So perquisites are nothing but facilities given by the employer to the employee. Now here, shall you not ask me what is the difference between allowance versus perquisite? Allowances are given. By whom? By the employer. And generally they are given in the form of cash. Over and above salary. But perquisites are not given. Perquisites are provided. When you provide something, that means you make arrangement for that. So if the employer makes the arrangement for certain facilities in respect of that employee who has got power and position in the organization, then that is called as perquisites. Now, allowances once given can be withdrawn. It can be withdrawn. But once perquisites are given, cannot be withdrawn unless both employer and employee agree to that. Allowances can be withdrawn at the discretion of the employer. Today I don't want to pay allowance from next month. I don't want to pay children education allowance. Now recession is there. I want to control my costs, so I will not give you certain allowances. But once the perquisites are given, once the perquisites are provided, they cannot be suo motu. Suo motu means at his own will of the employer. He cannot stop it because perquisites arise out of a contract. Perquisites arise out of a contract which is enforceable in the court of law. So if the employer stops certain benefits, certain facilities, then the employee can go in the court and claim back those facilities. So this is how the difference is there. Third point you will understand, that allowances, personal allowances are partly taxable, such as HRA, such as children education allowance, such as transport allowance, such as hostel allowance, partly taxable, partly exempt as per the calculation. But perquisites, certain perquisites, certain facilities shall be taxable in the hands of the employee as per valuation. The perquisites provided, the facility provided shall be valued, shall be quantified in terms of money, that what is the value of this facility in the hands of the employee. And that value will be added as salary in the hands of the employee. Now, after understanding this, you must also understand that perquisites must be authorized by the employer. If my employer has provided me a motor car, which is authorized, then it is an authorized perquisite. But if my employer does not give me the facility of motor car and I use that motor car without his authorization for my personal purposes, then that is illegal, that is wrong. Unauthorized use of perquisite is not permissible. Please understand, perquisites must be authorized by the employer, and the perquisites are nothing but a contract. Is that clear? It can be changed, but with the agreement of both the parties together. This is how the difference between perquisites and allowances. So, in nutshell, we can say that perquisites are facilities. Now, what are the facilities? Such as rent-free accommodation. Here, allowances, we have learnt that HRA is an allowance. But if the employer owns a house and that house or residential quarter is provided to the employee for stay, is it not a facility? Because instead of getting the HRA, now he is getting a house. So that is called as facility, that is called as what you call amenities. So perquisites are generally in kind. It may be in cash, but generally the perquisites are in kind, such as providing the house of the employer to the employee, or a quarter of the employer to the employee for his stay, or what you call it, the electricity bill of the house of the employee has been paid by the employer, or motor car provided by the employer to the employee, or furniture provided by the employer to the employee for his personal use. These are facilities. Or interest-free loan provided by the employer to the employee. So, my dear friends, today I am trying to tell you the roundabout thing about perquisite. Just I want to tell you, perquisites are facilities, perquisites are amenities, perquisites are conveniences which are provided by the employer because the employee wields position or the power. So this is how you have to understand the perquisites, and mind it well. The perquisites will be valued, and the valuation of the perquisite shall be added in the salary of the employee. Is that clear?